all. Glad to come to worship together. We're delighted to have Heather Entrekin, one of our very own from First Baptist here joining us, a retired American Baptist pastor, to preach with us this morning. Thanks for being here. Stacy and Paul are seeing their boys perform at Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp, so they will be back in the office on Tuesday. I want to draw your attention to a few things in the bulletin. First, a connection card. We invite you to fill in the information about you, whether it's your first time here or if you've been here for 20 years. On the back, you'll have opportunities for next steps. Introduce yourself to someone new that you don't know. And the next step on there, the next option, is about a radical hospitality event. So this gathering is next Sunday. You'll see an announcement in the bulletin about being a friendly church is good, but being a radically hospitable church is even better. And so we're going to gather next week during our normal second hour time after fellowship time. We'll gather and we'll hear from our board of outreach about what does it mean to be a radically welcoming church. So we hope that you'll make time to stay after worship next week for that. You can find more information about that in your announcement section of your bulletin. So now let us get our hearts and our minds, our spirits grounded and settled as we come to worship our King.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together this morning in this, your sanctuary of time and place from the cares of our daily lives and the tensions of our troubled world. We ask your blessing on this time together as we pray and worship and learn, that we may leave here strengthened and better equipped to live as examples of your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Thank you.
Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah, prophesying the return of the redeemed to Zion. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Please pray with me. Lord God, maker of beauty and good, who set the stars and planets in motion, whose power is too overwhelming for us to comprehend, we come now seeking the help that only you can provide. Yet again, we are grieved by events of the past week. In the midst of renewed pain and sorrow, many feel a sense of defeat, a resignation to a tragic and unacceptable reordering of society. But in you we know there is hope. In you we know there is a promise of a better future. And so now we ask your blessings on those that feel hopeless, the poor, the oppressed, and the depressed, and the victims of violence and hate, We pray for those who are suffering with illness, and we pray for the incarcerated. We also pray for the families and loved ones of those injured and killed in Barcelona. And because we seek to do your will, we pray for those who wish to do us harm. Please, God, allow your love to flow through us to those who know not your love, so that their eyes might be opened and their lives changed. For if one can change, so can many. And it is with our faith in the power of your love that we rejoice in the arrival of Eleanor Jean Floyd. We pray for her and for the rest of the Floyd family. We now also pray for those whom we know to pray: Juanita Dealerly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt, Robert Lipinski, the Jones family, John Wallace, Tony Brown, Carolyn and Sharon Cox, David, Claudio, and Joe, and Valeria Nebbia, Mae Cartee and her family, Ray, Bob and Barb, and Tom, Janet, Kevin Wozniak, Mary Sismowski, and her family. Now we offer our own prayers in silence. God of all, whose mercy upon our wretched world sent his Son as a sacrifice, who then lived and died, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. These are words that Mary speaks after she has been told by the angel Gabriel that she is about to conceive a child with the Holy Spirit and do this as an engaged woman, not yet married. She hurries to her cousin, Elizabeth, who is also unexpectedly and joyfully pregnant, and this is what she said. I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattering the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. The word of the Lord. I invite the children to come now and join Zan for a time as children.
in both of our readings today, it invites us to think about this puzzle. Can you guys work together to figure out some puzzles? I'm going to mix them up. See if you can figure out what pieces go together. Each puzzle only has two pieces. So see if you can come. Asher, can you come on this side so that Grady and I can see? What do you see there? What do you think those puzzles are about? Ivy, can you see? Good, good. What do you notice? Can you tell? What's going on? Andrew, can you tell what's going on?
Opposites.
Opposites.
Like what?
Like captured and free.
Captured and free. Okay, who else sees another opposite?
Up and down.
Up and down.
And one, the boat is floating, and then the next one, the boat is sunk.
Plants. Growing.
One's dead and one's growing. Yeah, one's dead.
Life and death.
Life and death. Okay, I have a favor to ask you. Can you get up on your feet a second? I think we need to move a little bit. Can you get on your feet? Can you stand up? Can you show me tall? Can you show me tall? As tall as you can get with your body? As tall as you can get with your body right here, Emmanuel? Okay, now show me as small as you can get. Now get small. Small, really late. Okay, now I need you to do very slow feet. Can you do very slow feet? Who knows what's next? Fast feet. Can you give me really fast feet? Okay. Now, can you give me really quiet voices? Can you say, God is here? What do you think the opposite of that is?
God is here!
Really big voices. Ready? God is here! Okay, good. Have a seat. I have more puzzles for you now. Ooh, these are about opposites. Lizzie, could you pick those up and pull them close to you? I have some more opposites. Because you know what? Turns out that the Bible talks about opposites a lot. And this one you guys are going to have to work together because it's words, not pictures. Words, not pictures. Let's see. Grady has one that says, tongues that are silent. Does anybody have a match for that one? An opposite? Tongues that are silent. Ooh. Let's see. You're working on trying to get them together. Are you reading the words? Ooh. We'll begin to shout. I think that might go together. Well, let's see. You guys are working hard. Yeah. Okay. For those of you that can read, is there someone who can read us one of those pairs?
Thirsty ground will flow with fountains.
Ooh. Thirsty ground will flow with fountains. Those are opposites.
The ears of death will be healed.
The deaf will be healed. They'll be able to hear. Okay, Lizzie?
The blind will see.
The blind will see.
Water will rush through the desert.
All these... Yeah, there are rivers sometimes. Yeah. So all these opposites, we heard two stories today about opposites. And God says, I am here. And I bring these things all together. I will bring tongues that are silent. They will begin to shout. This is the good news of God, that things that we see will be changed and will be made new, even when God feels far away. And that's what this was about when the people were in exile. So God did feel kind of far away. But God will bring the good, will change things for the good. Will you pray with me? Will you repeat after me? Okay. Dear God, thank you for making opposites happen. We are grateful. We know you are close to us. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Will you pray with me? God, may these words and our hearts be open to your Spirit. Amen. A couple of years ago, when I was here visiting my sister and brother-in-law, we went to see Keegan Michael Key do improv at a comedy club in Detroit. Keegan Michael Key, hereafter known as Key because I can never remember in what order his names go, Key is best known probably as a comedy partner with Peel. And you can see some great YouTubes of the two of them doing improv. But on this night, Key was performing with a group of about six people whom I had never heard of. And they all stood up on this little stage, and they started by asking for a word from the audience. And this audience was ready. They knew all about improv. And so they began to shout out these crazy, off-the-wall words. And the performers stood on the stage and picked out a word, and they stood there for a while thinking. And then one of them stepped into the spotlight and started to create a scene based on this crazy word that I can't even remember now. And after a little while, someone else from the group jumped in and took over, and that first person left, and then at the right moment, another person joined her, and the two of them went back and forth for a little while, and then someone else came on, and it went that way. This flowing of the performers on in and out of the spotlight. Taking the scene from one word and moving it forward and forward all night long. Now, I did not catch every word. They talk really fast. And I didn't get all the jokes, even the ones that I could hear, because I'm just not that cool. But it was still, the ones that I did get, it was a hilarious evening. And it's just amazing how these people could work together, developing scene upon scene upon scene from one word that they had never heard before, without a script, and with no idea when they started how it was going to wind up at the end for a solid hour and a half. Amazing. Not long after that, back in Kansas City, a doctor of ministry student at Central Seminary, where I worked, wrote a dissertation on, of all things, improvisation. He said that Paul, who is the writer of letters that we call books in the New Testament, was actually improvising ancient scriptures to help the church move toward what was unseen, what it could not see, which happens to be the meaning of the Latin root for the word improvise, moving toward what one cannot see or foretell, which is exactly where the church is today, not to mention the world. Then along came a scholar who looked at that text in Luke that we read today. Now, normally, of course, we read this in Advent. You may have recognized it. But today, we're reading it in August, in the spirit of improv, doing things in unusual ways. This scholar said of Mary's song that we also know as the Magnificat, Mary takes Hannah's song. Now, you can read Hannah's song in 1 Samuel. That one was written centuries before. The scholar said Mary takes Hannah's song and improvises. Does God do improv? Could this be a way that we could move toward the unforeseen in our day and in our church? The dictionary definition of improvisation is the art or act of composing, uttering, executing, arranging anything without previous preparation. Now, it is true that there is no script and that those who participate in improv have no idea where they're going when they begin. But it does take preparation. Improv is a skill, and it takes discipline and practice. Even Key and Peele needed discipline and practice to get as good and funny as they are. And it has rules. The first rule, according to Tina Fey, say yes. Improv begins when someone offers an idea, a word, an image, a perspective, a problem, and someone else accepts it, says yes. Let's start there. In jazz, the improviser begins with the key and the rhythm and the mood that the band is already playing. The band sets the stage from which the improviser can then create something wonderful and original. One time, a hot, new, young horn player was doing a guest appearance with a famous jazz band, and when it was his turn to start to play, he began in a whole different key. The conductor stopped the band, and he said, "That's not how it's done, son." Actually, he may have used a few other words that are not appropriate for church on Sunday morning. The improv group at the comedy club began with a word that the audience provided. Mary starts with a centuries-old song by Hannah and other ancient themes that you will find in Isaiah and Psalms and many other places throughout Scripture. The weak become strong, these beautiful opposites. The feeble, firm. We live with war and violence all around us, but God is all about mercy and grace. God keeps God's promises from Abraham and all the way on. Improv never starts from nothing. Rule two, after yes, comma, say and. Most of us tend to be a lot better at yes, but. I know I am. While the person I disagree with is talking, I'm very busy putting together my best argument to persuade, convince, or better yet, shut that person down completely. But improv only works when you add something of your own. It's about building and creating. And it takes someone who is not afraid to add his or her voice, not afraid to jump in, to take the spotlight once in a while or share it with someone else, even though it means walking toward what cannot be foreseen. Mary could not have known where her yes to God would lead, and how understandable it would have been if she said to that angel bringing news about a pregnancy to someone, thing, the spirit, other than her, the man to whom she was engaged, "Yes, but I do have a few concerns and questions, possibly reservations." Instead, she said, "Yes, and I will call this a blessing." It happened once at Prairie Baptist Church during one of those endless contentious meetings that we seem to be having all the time about worship, how to worship. I haven't been here long enough at First Baptist Ann Arbor to know if you have these conversations or have ever had them. But Some people loved the old traditions, the old hymns. They had all the words memorized. They had been singing them from birth. They loved this music. They had bought the hymnals, and they had dedication pages, you know, in the front with the names of loved ones. The old stuff was precious and beautiful and meaningful. But then there were others who wanted fresh, new music and new words and new instruments like guitars and drums and a great big screen up in the front of the sanctuary. These disagreements happen so much, and they can be so destructive that there's a name for them. They are called worship wars. So the argument went back and forth until finally a young mother stood up. And she spoke with appreciation and gratitude, and by name, she spoke to the older members of the church. And she told how much she valued their long faithfulness and generosity to this church that we all loved, and their ways of worship and all the things that they had taught her over the years. She said a great big fat yes to them. And then she said, and she told the story of how her experience of worship now included some of the new things, the different things, the changing things that were beautiful and meaningful to her. Now, that didn't solve all of our problems, but the spirit in that room certainly changed. We weren't enemies anymore, and it made all the difference. To walk toward what cannot be foreseen takes practice and skill and the ability to listen and trust in others around you. And that takes humility, which is something that David Brooks is writing about in the New York Times. He says that the most powerful answer to fanaticism is modesty. Having the courage to understand that the world is too complicated to fit into one political belief system, and that there are no easy answers or malevolent conspiracies to explain everything, and that crushing foes is not the answer. It takes humility to listen, to trust, to believe that you'll figure it out together. You cannot do improv if it has to be all about you. What I loved most about Key and this improv group that we saw was that nobody, not even Keegan-Michael Key, was a superstar that night. They all stood on this tiny stage the whole night long and supported one another. So whoever, one person or a small group would be in the spotlight, and the others were just a few feet away on the side of the stage, and they were cheering and laughing and applauding at whatever it was that that person was doing in the center, high-fiving. They were saying yes and waiting for their turn to step in and carry it forward. Improv will not fix everything. But we might learn something from holy improvisers like Mary and Paul, who did not live in easy times either. And remember how Jesus came not to throw away the law, the traditions, but to extend and fulfill. He was always saying, yes, and. Amy Butler is senior pastor at the iconic Riverside Church in New York City. It's a huge Gothic revival cathedral kind of a place, affiliated, by the way, with American Baptists, as is Amy. It was built by John D. Rockefeller, no expense spared. And it's a very prominent pulpit. Martin Luther King Jr. preached there. When the Pope comes to visit, he visits there. When Amy preaches, a lot of people notice. Earlier this year, she preached about gun rights, and she mentioned a person named Todd Underwood, who is the founder and the director of an online gun marketplace called United Gun Group. And this is the place that George Zimmerman went to sell the gun for a lot of money that he used to kill Trayvon Martin. In Florida, you may recall that story. It set off a tremendous amount of racial confrontation and violence and conversation, argument. A couple of other online gun sites had refused to allow George Zimmerman to sell that weapon. He was acquitted, as you recall, of that murder. They refused to allow Zimmerman to sell his gun on their websites for ethical reasons. But Todd Underwood said, Zimmerman meets the requirements of this site and therefore he is allowed. I will allow him to sell his gun here. So Amy, who is a very strong advocate of gun control, used this story in a sermon, as well as other stories, some related to Todd Underwood, as an example of how hard it is to love our enemies. Now, whenever I preach a controversial sermon, I kind of hope that everyone who disagrees with me will quietly get up at the end of the service and just go home. But a few weeks after she preached, Amy got a tweet from Todd Underwood, who had read her sermon and wanted to talk. So Amy got up her courage and she called him up. At first, she couldn't remember who he was, but she Googled and she said, oh yeah. She got up her courage and she called him up. And she could hear in the background his little children playing. And he was polite on the telephone. And they had a conversation, and he was coming to New York City, so they agreed that they would meet and talk. He came to Riverside Church. Now, Todd and Amy could not be more opposite in their convictions about gun control, about abortion, Donald Trump, probably women in ministry, just about any hot-button issue you could name. But they talked. And after a while, Amy asked him, if you could sum up the Bible in one sentence, what would it be? And this very conservative, evangelical Christian said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. And Amy said, that's exactly what I would say. They could not agree on much, but they could listen to each other, which happens to be one way of expressing love, isn't it? They came together with humility and courage. They do not know what's next for our country or even for their conversation. But Todd and Amy got to yes and. Unexpectedly, friendship began between them. Improv never begins from nothing. But our God shouts out a few words. The weak become strong. The feeble become firm. It's all about mercy and grace. God keeps God's promises. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's start there. I invite you now to offer whatever it is that you have to give to further the grace and mercy of God through this congregation. God, may our gifts serve, honor, and grow. Your love and creativity and peace in this place and this world, in your name, amen. The peace, as we do every time we gather as a congregation, we take part in an ancient ritual of people of faith who want to stand together for God's love in the face of hatred that is all around us in the world. These simple acts and words that we say and do to take the hand of someone near us and to say, peace be with you, is a holy way of extending the grace and the mercy and the peace of God for this time and for this world. Peace be with you. Please receive the good word, the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.